Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much.
When you were in Congress, you supported the Green New Deal. And in 2019, you said, quote, "There is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking." Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
Well, where does the question come from? Well, the question comes from the fact that in 2019, in a town hall with CNN, when she was a candidate for president that wound up not being in any primaries because she was so hopelessly unable to get any votes, Kamala Harris answered the question this-a-way.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So starting with what we can do on day one around public lands, right? And then there has to be legislation. But yes, and this is something I've taken on in California. I have a history of working on this issue. And to your point, that we have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. Yeah. So thank you.
So would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes. And I've again worked on that.
Ban it all. I hate all these carbon fuels. They're all evil and horrible. That was 2019, right? By the way, pay attention to how she talks. I'll come back to that a little bit later. That's kind of an interesting one, too. So was it just a small issue for her, climate change, banning offshore drilling, banning fracking, ending the destruction of the planet?
I think
this is back to 2019. Okay, just so we get a, you know where we were so we can talk about where we are.
I think about this issue through the lens of my baby nieces, who are 1.5 and 3 years old. And when I look at those babies and I think about what the world will be like in 20 years if we don't act, I'm really afraid. And as it relates to those Republicans in Congress, where I've now been for 2.5 years, every one of those members needs to look at the babies, the grandbabies in their life, and then look in the mirror and ask themselves, why have they failed to act?
So is she mildly interested in this issue, or is she absolutely fully deep to her core committed in her values, that's going to come up later, to this issue, to the point where she thinks that they're killing kids and don't have the heart to look at their kids and grandkids and tell them the truth about what they don't do on climate change? Which one's the real Kamala Harris? Okay, 2019, she was super clear. But now she says, no. I was super clear in 2020 when I said that President Biden, right? Because now she'd been picked as the vice presidential running mate, that President Biden won't ban fracking.
In 2019, I believe, in a town hall, you said, you were asked, would you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking on your first day in office? And you said, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So yes. So it changed in that campaign?
In 2020, I made very clear where I stand. We are in 2024, and I've not changed that position, nor will I going forward. I kept my word, and I will keep my word.
But explain how you got from A to B. I mean, if we're supposed to believe that you're at B now and forevermore, amen, no takebacks, how'd you get from A to B? Because that's the question that Anna Bash keep asking is, can you give me some, you know, give me some archaeology here. Show me how you got there. What's the path?
What made you change that position at the time?
Well, let's be clear. My values have not changed.
Okay, but if your values haven't changed and your value could lead you to absolutely, totally wanting to ban fracking because you're killing the babies, but it could also lead to totally wanting to preserve fracking because it's not killing the babies, then your values don't mean anything. If your underlying values can lead to such completely incompatible end results, then the values don't mean anything, right? And that's kind of the point.
I believe it is very important that we take seriously what we must do to guard against what is a clear crisis in terms of the climate. And to do that, we can do what we have accomplished thus far.
I'd like a little ranch dressing on my word salad, please. Now, to be fair, and I always do try to be fair, she seems to think that you can grow the green economy, solve for climate change, reduce CO2, and still have fracking. It doesn't matter that much. Now, that's a pretty novel position, okay, given that typically people who really are committed to the climate change agenda don't think that it's just sort of okay to have some, you know, CO2 produced over here on the side. We need to kind of cut it all as much as we possibly can, because we are at a crisis point, an inflection point, a hockey stick moment. The hockey stick keeps being the moment every moment, next year, next year, next year, next year, until, you know, the horrible things are going to happen. But she seems to think that.
The Inflation Reduction Act, what we have done to invest, by my calculation, over probably $1 trillion over the next 10 years, investing in a clean energy economy, what we've already done, creating over 300,000 new clean energy jobs, that tells me, from my experience as vice president, we can do it without banning fracking. In fact, Dana, I cast the tie-breaking vote that actually increased leases for fracking as vice president. So I'm very clear about where I stand.
So now she's pro-fracking? Because her values have not changed? Because she wants to fix climate change to protect the grandchildren? Or because she needs to win Pennsylvania? And she's really hoping people don't remember too much. So Dana tries a fourth time, by the way. This is one of those, like, I'm going to keep trying until I get, I mean, I guess I'll give up eventually.
There's some policy or scientific data that you saw that you said, oh, okay, I get it now.
What I have seen is that we can grow and we can increase a thriving clean energy economy without banning fracking.
Okay. Okay.
Which, and Jan's like, okay. I'm done. We're going to move on to other stuff. The whole interview was like this. Good. To her credit, Dana Bash was trying. Not to her credit, she didn't push on some of the right things, but still, she was actually trying. I wish she would have tried to pressure her bosses to release the entire interview as much as she sort of tried to press Kamala Harris to give more coherent answers to explain why she's completely reversed herself on so many issues. But, you know, whatever. You get what you get. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays either. Good job on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
One other question about something that you said in 2019 when you first ran. There was a debate. You raised your hand when asked whether or not the border should be decriminalized. Do you still believe that?
I believe there should be consequence. We have laws that have to be followed and enforced that address and deal with people who cross our border illegally, and there should be consequence. And let's be clear, in this race, I'm the only person who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations who traffic in guns, drugs, and human beings.
But that's enforcement, right? I mean, that's prosecution. And when you're in a position to help change the law, what would you do? Do you think that, and by the way, talking about transnational gangs, cartels, trafficking in drugs, or terrorism, it's not the same as talking about, let's say, ordinary illegal immigration, right? That's an extreme case. What do you think about decriminalizing border crossings without permission? Well, let's be clear. I don't want to talk about that. I'm just not interested. So Dana comes back.
Generally speaking, how should voters look at some of the changes that you've made, that you've explained some of here in your policy? Is it because you have more experience now and you've learned more about the information? Is it because you were running for president in a Democratic primary? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed.
What? I don't even... 437-1620. My values haven't changed. But if your values lead to two completely incompatible answers, then what do your values mean? Do you want to decriminalize the border or do you not? Do you want to ban fracking or do you not? Or are you saying something different now because it's politically convenient now that you're trying to win Pennsylvania? There were actually some okay moments in the conversation. There were actually moments that surprised me a little bit. I give her credit for this one. I kind of like this one. I don't know if she's serious about it, but I like this one.
You had a lot of Republican speakers at the convention. Yeah. Will you appoint a Republican to your cabinet?
Yes, I would.
By the way, do you, you've been on a doctor-imposed diet, dear. Have you been cheating on your diet? No. Have you been cheating on your diet? No. You know how people answer a question when they're trying to say the words, but their body knows they can't say that word seriously, and they uptick the answer, which is kind of her habit of talking also, but still, listen
you
to the way she
answered.
You had
a lot of Republican speakers at the convention. Yeah. Will you appoint a Republican to your cabinet?
Yes, I would.
Anyone
yes,
in
I
mind?
Would. No one in particular in mind. We got 68 days to go with this election, so I'm not putting the cart before the horse, but I would. I think it's really important. I have spent my career inviting diversity of opinion. I think it's important to have people at the table when some of the most important decisions are being made that have different views, different experiences. And I think it would be to the benefit of the American public to have a member of my cabinet who was a Republican.
Was that openness to diversity of viewpoint expressed in the Supreme Court justice hearings with Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett? Because I miss that part of your open, inclusive, tolerant, encouraging of diversity of viewpoint in those settings. But not, she might be serious. And if she is, great. And if she's going to have a token Republican.
Public to have a member of my cabinet who was a Republican.
member of my cabinet. Good. That's at least the right answer, even though I'm not sure I believe her with her tone. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill! It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Hi neighbors, this is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Thank you for having faith in me and showing your support during this primary election. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships to ensure that we have a professional and productive board. Let's move forward. The future is bright for Santa Rosa County.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This week, it's Shenanigans. Not just a band, an experience. Since 2007, they've traveled all around the world, and they're back at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight. Her hair was kind of curly,
went to her house. Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters tomorrow at 9. On the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing the Atlas X Brother Fox Collaboration Dinner, Atlas Beverage Class, Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, along with Jackson's Cooking Class and Angelina's Supper Club. That's all tomorrow at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
But I was clearly on the outer edge of the nostril.
I know what I saw.
But there was no pig. I did not pig. There was no pig.
I gotta go.
No. No pig.
No pick. 625 here. News Radio 923. My wife and I are watching slowly through all the Seinfeld episodes, and we're into season 4 now, which is, you know, they come and they go, but that season 4 might be the best one yet, just because it's a, like, several of the episodes have multiple iconic quotes in them, which is, you know, that tells you something about that episode, right? Let's see. We got John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 flowing smoothly through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
That episode in particular had the beach cologne where Kramer was upset about Calvin Klein stealing the idea. It had the pick versus the scratch. And it had the unfortunate Christmas photo of Elaine.
Oh. I remember that one.
Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, protesters have now gathered outside the home of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, demanding a ceasefire to free the hostages that are still being held by Hamas. Protesters apparently also gathering outside the U.S. embassy in Israel now. All this as thousands of mourners attended the funeral yesterday for Hirsch Goldberg, Poland. Hotel workers across the U.S. May or may not be heading back to work today after some walked off the job Sunday. The Unite Here union says workers are demanding better pay and benefits. And we were talking a little bit about Oasis over the last couple of weeks. They've gotten together. They're taking bets on whether they'll stay back together. Fans trying to buy Oasis tickets getting angry over the ticket prices. Apparently, a lot of secondhand sellers are buying all the tickets up and listing them at
stupid capitalism.
Just crazy prices. Let's see here. After tickets listed at $180, the price. Hold on, I'm trying to figure out how this thing was even written. British government officials say they're looking into the practice of dynamic pricing in which ticket prices can be changed in real time based on demand. I saw a headline earlier, though, that Oasis, the band themselves, this story doesn't make much sense. I'm sorry about that. But I saw a headline earlier that Oasis was actually threatening to stop doing their shows if the resellers kept marking the prices up. It was where I thought this was going.
Okay. You have to set a number, right?
Well, I believe there's
you have to say we're going to quit at this price.
And then
the resellers say, like, okay, so you're going to quit at $300 a piece. Right. All right. $299 it is.
But they were saying that apparently it's illegal maybe over in the UK or something to sell above the face value of the ticket.
And we've had this ongoing difficulty with the resale market and secondhand prices for sporting events and everything else. You have the Taylor Swift model of trying to set aside some for the real fans at the low prices, all this kind of stuff. I mean, what the basic problem is it's a market and there's a supply, a certain number of seats, and then there's a demand, which is much more than that. And so what happens to prices? Well, you know, people are willing to pay. The prices go up. It's,
I'm still kind of in capitalism. I'm still kind of in your boat. I really don't see what the big deal with Oasis is.
Yeah, I'm same.
I mean, they had what, like one big song?
If somebody wants to spend $500 to see Oasis on a night, I mean, bless their hearts. You know, that's great. Let them enjoy the show, I guess. I don't know.
In my mind, it's like a county fair act.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm in the same. Yeah. And if, you know, somebody else is angry because they can't get the cheaper, you know, well, I mean, you don't get to go. Was your life so awful, you know? Somebody else who's got money gets to go and you don't get to go. I mean, it's, you know, capitalism. Last I checked, I don't know.
Stupid
maybe I'm
capitalism.
Wrong. Capitalism. Yeah, I mean, you know what we should do?
What's that?
If we elect Kamala Harris president.
Right.
Everybody gets to see Oasis for free. Problem
there
solved.
There we go. There we go.
She'll probably do it by putting in a tax credit for Oasis tickets to inflate the supply of money into the market.
I'm ready for my Oasis tax credit, I'll tell you that.
And that'll naturally bring the prices down because that's how economics works, right?
Absolutely.
Just don't ask too many questions. Just elect her. It'll solve housing and food and everything else.
Foster. President Biden and Vice President Harris hold their first joint campaign appearance with her as the nominee.
That's right, Kamala, I'm so proud. So proud of the greatest job creation record of any president in a single term in American history.
They spoke to steelworkers in Pittsburgh. Three people are missing, five rescued after a boat crash in Connecticut.
The Coast Guard says the boat was traveling in the Connecticut River at a high rate of speed Monday night when it slammed into a break wall and broke apart. Officials say the three missing men were not wearing life jackets at the time.
Fox's Sue Guzman, actor-singer James Darren died, 88 years old, moondoggy in the Gidget surf movies in the late 50s, early 60s.
Although she's just small fry, just about so high, Gidget is the one for me.
He was in the TV show T.J. Hooker in the 80s. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 now, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, right now 76 degrees. We do have a beautiful morning. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola today. The feasibility of a 100,000-square-foot indoor sports complex at the Ashton-Brosnahan Park continues to be a topic of debate with the Tourism Development Council. Some board members asking whether it could be worth the financial and whether it would be worth the financial investment. Another concern is whether it would bring too much traffic into the neighborhood.
My concern, of course, would be, has the neighbors been notified that we're going to have 700 new cars in their neighborhood? And are they on board with
That's TDC board member Ronald Rivera. If built, that facility, though, would host some annual events such as the NAIA Soccer National Championship and the SEC Women's Soccer Championships, which are held at Ashton-Brosnahan each year. Local athletes say the facility like that could help to prevent injuries and ensure local soccer matches go on despite extreme weather conditions in the summer. The TDC will continue discussing the possibility of such a facility at a future meeting. Some new trolleys on their way to Pensacola Beach. They'll be replacing the old trolleys that were already in service on the beach. ECAT operates beach trolleys throughout the summer. They're reimbursed by the Santa Rosa Island Authority for the annual operating costs. The SRIA bought the trolleys. They're going to be given to the county through an operating agreement. The Escambia commissioners are expected to finalize that deal at a meeting this week. Well, there were no injuries aside from a fence and a shed this morning when a driver reportedly fell asleep and then crashed in Escambia County. That happened just before 4 a.m. The Florida Highway Patrol says the driver, identified as a 43-year-old man, fell asleep and did not make it around a curve in the roadway. Troopers say the driver then crashed and hit the fence and the shed. Looks like Florida is the most fun state to live in. More from Mark Mayfield.
A new study from WalletHub ranked all 50 states across more than two dozen key indicators, including accessibility to national parks, nightlife, and other activities. Researchers determined that the Sunshine State took the national lead because of its number of restaurants, amusement parks, and music festivals per capita. California took the number two spot, while West Virginia came in last. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. Senator Rick Scott with a warning for Venezuela's president. Scott posting on X yesterday after Nicolas Maduro issued an arrest warrant for the man who opposed him in the presidential election, Edmundo Gonzalez. Scott calling that warrant unlawful and also called it a line in the sand. He said if Maduro and his buddies cross the line, there could be hell to pay. Scott also blames the Biden-Harris administration for what he's calling weak appeasement policies that he says emboldened Maduro and his regime. Escambia Fire Rescue Chief Mark Clark has passed away. According to the ECFR, Clark passed away on Saturday, surrounded by family and friends as well as fellow firefighters. Clark served as a firefighter for 34 years. Just about 6:35 now at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. One accident to let you know about. There's a rear-end collision on University just before Johnson Avenue. Vehicles are mostly out of the roadway, but first responders are on their way to the scene. Just let you know that. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly right now, not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Rain chances are increased for this afternoon and evening, about a 60% chance of rain, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. Going into your Wednesday, rain chances increase even more, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 85. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. We're going to keep the rain chances around as we go into your Friday with about a 70 to 80% chance of rain. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 6:35. Let's get a look at our market report.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Medicare's first ever negotiated pricing for prescription drugs is an improvement, but not good enough compared to the rest of the world. That's the major takeaway from a Reuters analysis, which compared the new costs of the 10 popular treatments to the prices set by other wealthy nations like Japan and Australia. Reuters found the reset price tags are still, on average, more than double what drug makers have agreed to in other countries. But Medicare says the lower prices will result in $6 billion in savings in 2026, the first year the prices take effect. Apple is planning to upgrade its newest iPhone model, the SE. The company will use OLED displays for all iPhone models, starting with those sold next year. Apple is moving entirely away from LCD displays. OLED displays are considered to provide more vibrant colors. On Wall Street, futures are lower at the start of the holiday shortened trading week. That's Your Money Now.
And right now, 76 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
So I've decided after 28 years of state service and 18 years on the bench that I'm going to retire from being a judge, though I'm going to continue to work.
And what date will the retirement be effective?
I believe it's going to be the end of September. It's a little fluid right now, but right at the end of September.
So Judge Gary Burgosh is retiring from being a judge at the end of September. In an interview that he did with Studio 850, John Singley does such good work at Studio 850, which is basically a Facebook-based news organization that covers local issues, as you might guess from the 850 in their name.
And why now, Judge?
So my wife and I, we've talked, we have family meetings and talk about what our goals are. And I've got 25 years of service in the Marine Corps, active and reserve, 28 years with the state, and I've got 15 years service with the federal government as an attorney. And I have an opportunity to teach federal law enforcement officers, federal law, Fourth Amendment, Federal Tort Claim Act, Bivens actions, maybe some other areas.
So he's going to work, but, the way I had heard the story was that he was moving to, like, New Mexico, basically, in order to do this work, moving closer to the border and, you know, wouldn't be here. And, of course, John asks the question.
And I love to teach, and I've taught at UWF at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And I think this would give me an opportunity to do something that I really love. And, timing was right. I'm going to stay in Pensacola. I live here. I may, I'm going to work remotely. I may have to travel some. But this is going to be a great chapter for me and my family.
So he's not going anywhere. And, you know, that came up again. And here's why that's relevant is because his wife, Carissa, is in a runoff for school board. And the question had been, well, if he's moving, is she moving with him? Doesn't seem like the kind of partnership where, one would go and the other would stay. By all accounts that I know of, they have a good marriage. I don't think there'd be any reason they'd be separated. Other people make separation work too, military families do it all the time. But that was one of the questions is, well, if she's going to be on the school board, if she wins her runoff election in November, what does that mean? Is he going to be here? Is he going to be there?
Some people are saying that it would be difficult for Carissa to campaign if she is with you on your new assignment.
Oh, no. We're living here. She's not moving. She's not going anywhere. I travel sort of like an airline pilot. This month, he's gone 10 days.
Yeah.
Next month he's gone, 12 days. Next month he's gone, whatever. No, I live here. I'm not moving. I've got a great house on the water, three stories, 5,000 square feet. I love my 300-foot pier. Not going anywhere.
one of the things, just a little bit of background for you to understand where I've come from on this. I've not had a lot of interactions with Judge Gary Burgosh, but the ones I have had have all been very positive. I have a generally very positive view of him. His brother, let's just say, once upon a time, we had a pretty good relationship that has not stayed in that status. And I'll be honest with you, one of the things that I have to fight a little bit in me is that when Gary's talking, he has some of the same speech patterns as Jeff has. And so there's a part of me that kind of gets like, I don't want to hear that, but I just so you're aware. Now, one of the things that came up in this interview, and I really kind of credit John for asking this question. There's a story that was never a story because those of us who knew about the story decided that it wasn't adequate. There wasn't enough information to prove to put it out publicly. Now, it has to do with Doug Underhill and Wendy Underhill and their son Avery. And a story about him interacting with a friend in school over a cell phone that wound up in some charges against him that wound up changing his entire life and making it so he couldn't go into the Navy, of all things. And the allegation had been at the time that Jeff Bergosh, hating Doug so much, doing anything he can to get back against him, had somehow or other worked with people they knew to get these charges manufactured and then signed off on by Gary Bergosh. And it was all this pattern of harassment against the Underhills. And I had at the time, I had interviewed Avery. I actually still have the interview. We've never aired it. And the reason I never aired it is because I couldn't validate enough of the claims to justify it as a news story. Okay. Even things like the allegation had been that Gary had somehow switched on to the day because it was right around Christmas, being the judge on call to handle the order for arrest or the warrant or whatever it was. I forget now some of the details here. It's been like 6 or 7 years. It's been a while. Maybe not quite that long, maybe five. Anyway, so I never publicized it. Jim Little had privy to all the information that I had with the PNJ, and he made the same decision. I don't think I've ever talked with him about it, but I'm assuming he did the same thing. And I made calls. Like, I tried to figure out, well, did he really switch? And all, okay. So John Singley follows up on this and asks the question. Now that he's retiring, and it's a little bit moot at this point, but he's still asking the question, and we'll come back to it in a second. John's got traffic on the fives. First, John.
Brought to you by Direct Auto. Car insurance too pricey? Get around town with affordable coverage. Stop compromising. Keep driving with Direct Auto. Get a free quote at directauto.com. Still no accidents to let you know about, and even no slowdowns either. Things are looking good on I-10, I-110, even through that construction zone on 110 eastbound. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And I should also say, I'm friends with Doug and Wendy, and I know Avery pretty well. Avery actually loaned me an airsoft rifle one time when we were first learning how to to play, and I admire the kid. He's a good kid. Like, okay, so just so you if you want to factor any of that into the way I talk about this issue, I just don't want to be hiding anything from you. So anyway, John Singley of Studio 850 asks retiring Judge Gary Bergosh about the case and about how he handled it.
Judge, several years ago there were a lot of rumors during the political season regarding your handling of a county commissioner's child. A lot was made on social media about this issue. Tell us about Commissioner Underhill's son and how you handled that case.
And he went into an explanation of how these cases work and who gets assigned to what and when you sign orders.
So the only thing I can say is I'm very attenuated to see if I know someone in a warrant, and it's rare that I've seen that. And if it's someone I recognize, I'll send it to another judge. But sometimes you don't recognize a name, or even if you see a name and you go, well, I don't know who this is. Is this person related to somebody? Is Smith related to Smith? If I don't know, I'll just read the warrant, treat everyone the way they are, and I'll evaluate it. And if I believe there's probable cause, I'll send it where it goes. So I really can't talk about cases, but that's how judges handle things. And that's how I handled it.
In other words, he's saying that either he didn't recognize the name, didn't connect the name, or didn't know Avery to assume that it was Doug's son. And so whatever happened, he signed it without believing that there was a conflict of interest problem because of his brother's political animosity against Doug. And, we know from history that Jeff Bergosh is, uses his power to push back and punish his enemies, any way he possibly can. Would he try to use Gary to punish Doug's son? I certainly don't put that out of the realm for Jeff in his imaginations. But again, I've never seen any evidence of Gary misbehaving. I don't have anything critical to say of him particularly. And so I looked into this and I didn't find any evidence. And so I didn't go with it as a story because I thought, well, I can't prove it. And if you can't prove it, you can't make the allegation. And even now I'm not making the allegation because, I don't have any evidence of it other than conjecture. And so he says, I didn't recuse myself and I don't know Doug.
The Marine Corps teaches you integrity and to do what's right. obviously, as a judge, you have to have high integrity. You have to do what's right. You have to be honest. You have to be fair. So I would never handle a case of someone that I knew or I thought I knew. I don't know Commissioner Underhill. I've met him once or twice. He does not like my brother. I don't think he spent 2 seconds with me. I wouldn't know his kids if I saw them. And so I really can't talk about that. So obviously, I would never handle a case, and I didn't handle a case if I knew somebody's, you know, somebody was involved in it that I knew.
So again, he's kind of giving a couple of different versions of the same answer, which is, I didn't have a conflict in this case. I don't know his son, didn't know that's who it was. And in any case, it's not my beef. He would be, he seems to be saying, it's, you know, my brother's beef, right?
So we see, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of warrants a year. And in that instance, I can tell your viewers this. I had no idea that it was anybody's son if I did handle something. That's the only thing I can say.
So I'll tell you one other fact of all of this that at least I can contribute to the conversation. And it still doesn't really say anything about Gary. But I remember at the time when I was looking into this. And I tried to find, you know, is there any court record? Because the allegation been that he kind of shifted his own schedule in order to be the judge to handle the warrant, you know, was kind of the allegation. And I just couldn't find any evidence of that. And so that's why I didn't do it as a story. I presume, again, Jim Little did the same research and couldn't find a story there. What I did get was a phone call from Jeff Bergosh at the time, warning me off the story. Be careful. Don't make allegations you can't substantiate, which it was kind of funny to me because I thought, well, usually you don't warn people off of things that are, you know, not true. But I factored in the fact that he's just trying to be protective of his brother and he's kind of a bully type and he thought that he could intimidate me. And I had already decided that I wasn't going to go with the story because I thought that I couldn't prove it. Actually, the fact that he called me, I thought was kind of news. But I also decided not to go with that as a public matter, mostly because it would bring back the basic question of whether Gary had any connection to a failure to recuse himself for the case regarding Avery. You know what I mean? Like, all of it didn't sit well with me as a journalist, you know, as a need to tell the truth. And I'm even, like, I even thought about, do I want to bring all this up now? And since John brought it up and since it's out in the public and because Gary is retiring, I wanted to talk about it just a little bit because the one thing that Commissioner Bergosh has never understood about me, and I knew at the time, I knew for sure at the time that because I did not run with the story, Jeff would assume that he'd properly scared me. Which, by the way, I have other stories of other people. And I mean, this is the thing that Jeff never understood about me and still doesn't. And many people still don't. They think, God, Andrew, you're so hostile towards Jeff Bergosh. There are all kinds of things I could say or could report on or could claim that I don't. Because either I can't prove it or people won't go on the record. I mean, that's actually pretty common, you know, that people want to say something but they don't want to have their name attached to it because they're afraid of the consequences if they do. Remember I told you why people were endorsing him? Because they were worried that it would come back against them if they didn't. Remember I told you that? There's so many cases, you know, that I could tell you. But what I always did is I always thought, you know what, we're going to use restraint, go with grace, give less than you can say for sure. And what Jeff and even the people who, like, I have friends who are like, man, some people are like, thank God you tell the truth about Jeff Bergosh. Other people are like, Andrew, you shouldn't be so harsh about Jeff Bergosh. Restraint. I have always said less than I want to. I have always been less critical than I want to. I've always been nicer than I want to be. Because it's my job. And that's something that I think that I know Commissioner Bergosh has never understood. And that other people listening to me talk about him have never understood. And even now, I can't go into all the, you know, the particulars because it would be inappropriate. But just trust me, when I'm critical of people, it's usually a lot, even if it sounds rude or mean or, you know, uncharitable or something like that, it's usually a lot better than the version that goes on inside my head because I think that's my obligation as a journalist, as a Christian, as a member of the community is, you know, be nicer than you could be. Now, I don't think I've gotten quite that same treatment from Commissioner Burkosh, but that's okay. We each have to answer for our own choices. 654 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
This is glue. Strong stuff.
Good morning, 656 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but I am seeing some heavy delays if you go past the Navarre Parkway Bridge and are still heading eastbound to Windhaven Beach. You're going to see some congestion in that area. Pack maybe a 5-10 minute delay in that area. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, protesters have gathered in Israel outside the home of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They're demanding a ceasefire to free the hostages still being held captive by Hamas. Hotel workers in several U.S. cities may or may not be heading back to work today after they walked off the job Sunday. The Unite Here union says workers are demanding better pay and benefits, along with increased staffing and more fair work schedules. And San Francisco 49ers rookie Ricky Pearsall will be missing at least the first 4 games of the NFL season. Apparently, he's recovering from a gunshot wound. He was released from the hospital on Sunday after being shot in the chest over the weekend during a robbery attempt. The 49ers have placed him on the non-football injury list.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 657 here on News Radio 92.3. Some interesting things going on. One is that you have a sheriff in Alabama who is now seeking to amend the permitless carry law. You know, Alabama has a, you can conceal carry without any kind of a license whatsoever. In Florida, you know, we have done that. They have open carry. You can basically, in Alabama, there's no rules for your gun. It's not quite true, but, you know, it's pretty close to that. Well, you've now got a sheriff who is saying, a Republican sheriff, who is saying that it's Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, talking to AL.com, good resource on Alabama, by the way, AL.com, that he wants to see people 21 under 21 have to have a permit to carry concealed. His reasoning is we have all of these young gang members who have guns, and when we pull them over in the car and they've got guns, which is legal for them to have because they don't have felony convictions, there's nothing we can do about it. But if they're under 21, we'd like to be able to take their guns away because we know they're about to do bad things or they're trying to do bad things, and we'd like to be able to take their guns away, but this would give us the opportunity to do it if they had to have a concealed carry permit or a carry permit of some kind. Weirdly, I kind of support this. And I know for somebody who's super pro Second Amendment, that may seem weird to you, but I see what they're talking about. And generally the rule is that if you have a group of people in a population who misbehave, you can either make it so the whole population pays for their bad behavior by losing a freedom, or you can try to restrict it to that population itself. And in this case, what you've got is younger people who are misbehaving. And is there a limited way that we can restrict their freedom in line with the Constitution? I don't think it's unconstitutional to require a concealed carry permit. So could we maybe make it so that under 21 to give law enforcement a tool to work back against gang violence?